Slim and Loper fussed over the rabbit hutch for 2 solid hours. These were the same guys who had been so busy and so far behind in their work that they could hardly look up. Yet when the orphan coon appeared on the scene, they dropped everything and spent most of the afternoon fooling around and goofing off. That was a pretty poor way to run a ranch, seemed to me. I stayed away from the crowd and the masses. I had better things to do, and I had no interest whatever. Okay, I'll admit that around 5 o'clock, boredom and curiosity got the best of me, and I drifted over to the general area of the, well, the machine shed, so to speak. But let me hasten to add that I had wanted to check out the machine shed anyway. See, I hadn't patrolled that area in several days, and it needed checking out, and I thought, what the heck, I might as well check it out. And the coon had little or nothing to do with it. It was strictly a business decision. I kept my distance and didn't join Yehudi's crowd of admirers. I remained on the edge of the periphery and watched. After goofing off most of the afternoon, Slim and Loper had finally patched up the cage and had put the coon inside. Now it appeared that they were trying to figure out what his little majesty would eat. They tried dry dog food. He didn't want it. They tried a piece of bread. He sniffed it and pushed it away. They tried a piece of sliced apple. And I mean they cut out the core and peeled it. Did everything but chew it for him. But no, he wasn't interested in sliced apples. Now if it had been a dog, they would have said, "You're too fussy. When you get hungry enough, you'll eat." But since he was a cute and darling little coon, they kept little Alfred running back to the house for more food, and the coon refused to eat any of it. They were stumped. He was about half grown, which meant that he was old enough to eat solid food, but they couldn't find anything that he would eat. Then Slim came up with an idea. The wild plums were ripe at that time of year, and maybe he'd been eating those in the wild. So Slim and Alfred trotted down to the creek and picked a hatful of wild plums. That did the trick. Eddie, that's what they called him, so I might as well use the name. Eddie knew about wild plums, and he went right to work on them. He had his own special way of eating. He'd sit there on his haunches, pick up a plum in his front paws, dip it into his water bowl, and nibble it down to the seed. Then he'd drop the seed and pick up another one. He smacked his lips when he chewed, and he looked so solemn about the whole thing that everyone laughed. He did look kind of, well, comical. Not cute, but comical. All at once I realized that little Alfred was standing beside me.
"What do you think of our new coon, Hanky?"
"Huh?" "Actually, I was just passing by on my way to check out the machine shed, and I'd hardly even noticed the..." I hurried away. I was a very busy dog and had many things to do. I went down to the corrals, did a thorough sweep of that area, checked out the feed barn, the saddle shed, and so forth, and it was strictly by chance that I found myself back at the machine shed. It appeared that Eddie, that is, the new guy, had eaten his way through a fair number of wild plums, and now he was holding a piece of banana in his paws. Someone had brought him a banana. It was kind of neat, the way he used his paws. They were more like hands than paws, actually. He'd roll that hunk of banana around his hands, take a bite, smack his lips, roll it around some more, and take another bite. Yes, he could do a lot with those little hands. He finished the banana, licked his fingers, and began walking around the cage. That brought a big laugh from the audience. What was so funny about a coon walking? Well, his front and back legs on the same side moved together, and he walked all humped over, and he looked like a monkey. A guy doesn't notice those little details when he's fighting Eddie's thieving adult relatives on a dark night. And it was kind of funny. Even I had to admit that. I heard Slim's voice above the laughter. You know, he walked just like Groucho Marx. No, he resembled a monkey. Or a bear. Yes, he did resemble a bear, the way he lumbered along. Although I was a very busy dog and sure didn't have time to... Kind of a fascinating little brute. But I had many things to accomplish before dark and moved on to the chicken house and... Slim took him out of the cage and put him up on his shoulder. Now that was pretty amazing. Here was an animal who just hours before had been living in the wild, and now he was perched on Slim's shoulder and seemed perfectly content to be there. I couldn't imagine a badger or a coyote or another wild animal adapting so well or so quickly to total strangers. But as I said, I needed to check out the chicken house and didn't have time to. Pretty interesting little beast. Quite a bit more interesting than chickens. What could a chicken do but cluck and peck? That was about it. Anyway, I had many things to attend to before dark, had to get ready for night patrol, and by George, it was a total coincidence that at sundown, I found myself more or less in front of the machine shed. I had virtually forgotten about the coon. I mean, his presence on the ranch had made the tiniest of impressions on me, in one ear and out the other, as I had busied myself with... No kidding, everyone else had made a big deal out of the coon, but I had pretty muchly forgotten. It came as a surprise, a shock, actually, when I looked up from my chores and... By George, there was a coon in a cage. Of course, then I remembered. It all came back to me, but everyone had gone. The crowd had left. Nobody was around to, nobody was around, is the point. I glanced over both shoulders, just to be sure that... Yes, the adoring throngs had gone back to their homes, leaving the ranch strangely quiet, so to speak. I crept toward the cage on silent paws and established an observation post some 5 feet in front of the alleged cage, from whence I had a clear and unobstructed view of the resident. He was staring at me with those beady little eyes. I stared back. He began to make that growling noise, the one that doesn't sound like something that would come from a shrimpy little coon. And naturally, I growled back. He stared. I stared. He growled. I growled. The minutes stretched into an hour. The last colors of sunset faded into darkness. We continued to stare and growl at each other until at last I decided to break the silence. You've been growling at me for over an hour, pal. I wonder if there's some purpose for this. No answer. I imagine your throat's getting sore. You can quit anytime. No answer. See, I can't quit until you quit, because you started the whole thing. No answer. He continued to growl. You did start the whole thing, pal. You made first growl. It wasn't me. I was just minding my own business. No answer. See, if I quit first, it might be interpreted as a sign of weakness. On the other hand, if you quit first, then... Well, we can save our throats for more important matters. No change. Of course, there's another way of approaching this deal. I, being older and wiser, could use my maturity. You must admit that I'm somewhat more mature than you, and look, pal, this isn't making either one of us richer or wiser. I'll quit if you'll quit. I stopped growling, then listened and waited. He growled two more times, then stopped. Okay, that's all behind us now, and we needn't make a big issue out of who quit first. Just for the record, we both quit at approximately the same time. He said nothing. Now, we need to cover a couple of items of business. You're new here, and maybe you're not familiar with how we do things. My name is Hank the Cow Dog, and I'm head of ranch security. I had thought that he might, well, you know, gasp or something, but he didn't. No sound. It's a very important position, and you might say that newcomers to the ranch check things out with me. I can make your stay pleasant or unpleasant. I swing quite a lot of weight around here, is the point. No sound. You're not talking? That's okay. As a matter of fact, we kind of like it when the new guys keep their traps shut. I can get along with a guy who watches and listens and learns the ropes. It's the mouthy ones I have trouble with. So if you're not a big talker, that's probably going to work in your favor. Now, let's move along to the next item of business. And I'll be blunt. Being blunt is my nature, so don't get your feelings hurt. You're a raccoon, pal, and we've never had what you'd call a positive experience with raccoons. And I'll be perfectly... Huh? Snoring? Hey, you in there, wake up. It never impresses the head of ranch security when a new guy falls asleep in the middle of an orientation session. I think you'd better... By George, once a coon falls asleep, he's really knocked out. Well, that was okay. I could wait. He couldn't sleep forever, and when he... Snort, smirk, smirk.